This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:08 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So Parliament has been in session today, tabling a constitutional amendment bill to Article 10 with a view towards pushing the anti-party hopping bill through at a later point. This is something we've talked about quite a bit, the fact that the anti-party hopping bill has been postponed a number of times now. Anyway, we thought, since this is happening, and in lieu of doing a pulpit Parliament detailing the tabling of the bill, we would discuss what the amendment actually is.
So in a special sitting today, de facto Law Minister Dato Sri Wan Junaidi Tunku Jaafar tabled this particular amendment to Article 10. Now, Article 10 of the Constitution essentially enshrines freedom of speech, assembly and association. So this amendment would insert a sub-clause that allows party membership of MPs and assembly persons to be restricted by federal law. So that's really the way in which it links up to the anti-party hopping bill, right? Now, the constitutional amendment will require the support of 2/3 of MPs. But the introduction of any legislation invoking constitutional provision will only require a simple majority. Now, I suppose the thing is, there are two things happening here, right? On the one hand, there has been a lot of support for the anti-party hopping bill. But this amendment, however, has brought up concerns that it will essentially extend quite far beyond just that anti-party hopping bill and instead impact other ways in which MPs and assembly persons basically do their jobs, as well as express their support or where they want to align themselves.
And some of the most vocal opposition to this has come by way of Undi 18 and Pengerang MP Dato Sri Azlina Othman Said, who, let's start with the former Deputy Speaker, who said that the bill could lead to a constitutional crisis and that amending Article 10 without strictly defined anti-hopping laws would in fact be too wide and dangerous. Undi 18 in a statement said, although the constitutional amendment was to enable the enactment of the anti-party hopping law, the amendments themselves would raise a number of issues that would have long-term implications, saying that it would provide a blank check to any incoming government to control the participation of MPs and state assembly persons in political parties. So I think, as you pointed out earlier, Sharmila, this is all being talked about as part and parcel of the anti-party hopping bill. But it's worth, I think, trying to tease out the various things that are going on here, because I think when something like the anti-party hopping law is talked about, it is spoken about often, and understandably so, in very simplistic terms. It's like, well, we have this and then that would stop people from party hopping, or that would require people to go through all sorts of different things if they wanted to do something like that again. However, in order to get there, now so many different things need to happen. And I do think that considering what the larger reaching issues might be with a constitutional amendment is very much worth talking about.
Yes, because the particular aspect that comes into question here is, of course, freedom of association, right? And that doesn't necessarily only have to apply to an MP hopping parties. It also applies in a wide variety of ways. And that's why I think people are calling for there to be specificity before we vote on this amendment. Exactly what do we mean when we say party hopping? How will this apply to MPs and politicians? And are there implications beyond even just the political realm?
So what are your thoughts on this? We're talking today essentially about the bill or a constitutional amendment bill to Article 10, which is making its way through Parliament today. And we'd like to hear from you. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Emeritus Professor Dr. Shad Salim Farooqi, Professor of Constitutional Law at the University of Malaya. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about what's happening in Parliament today, which is essentially the tabling of a constitutional amendment bill to Article 10 with the aim, I suppose, of eventually pushing through the anti-party hopping bill at a later point, or at least, you know, that's what all the reporting is saying. So we're going to get into it now. We'd like to hear from you, though. What are your thoughts on this? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. online and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to help us understand and unpack this issue is Emeritus Professor Datuk Dr. Shad Salim Farooqi, Professor of Constitutional Law at the University of Malaya. Prof, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi, Eileen. Hi, Sharmila.
So let's look then at Article 10 of the Federal Constitution, which is what we're discussing today. It enshrines freedom of speech, assembly and association. Can you help us understand firstly how Article 10 applies to our society and then also specifically to MPs and political parties?
Yeah, Lynn, before I go into that, let me just give a introductory note, and that is this, that this party hopping problem is a worldwide problem, but it has special relevance and possibly devastating effect in a parliamentary democracy, because in a parliamentary democracy, unlike in a presidential one like in the USA, the chief executive must command the confidence of a majority of the members of the House. And if that confidence is lost by party hopping or defections or flow crossing, many words are used, then the Prime Minister loses his right to continue as Prime Minister. Just 2 days ago in Pakistan, the Prime Minister lost his Prime Ministership because a number of members who were supporting him hopped to the opposition. So I think that's the background. Now coming to Article 10. As you correctly pointed out, Article 10 is a very important article of the Constitution, which gives to all citizens a right to freedom of speech and expression, a right to assembly, and a right to association. When it comes to hopping, we are primarily concerned with Article 10, Clause 1, Subclause C, which deals with the right to association. Surprisingly, the Constitution does not anywhere mention political parties. It does not anywhere mention hopping or defection of crossing the floor. But there is a case in 1992 from Kelantan, and that was this, that the government of Kelantan, which was at that time owned, which at the time controlled by PAS, as it is now today, the government of Kelantan passed an anti-hopping law, whereby anyone who hops has a right to hop, but he must vacate his seat and return to the rakyat for a reaffirmation to return to parliament. He must seek renewal of his mandate. Nordin Saleh was a past member who crossed over and joined UMNO. So they declared his seat vacant under the law as had been passed. He challenged the law. Now, when the matter went to the court, ultimately it went to the court, the federal court held that the fundamental right in Article 10 can be restricted only by the federal parliament, because Article 10, Clause 2 begins with the words parliament may by law. Parliament doesn't mean state assembly. So that's point number one, that the Kelantan assembly had no power to pass this law, only parliament. Secondly, the court held that the right to associate includes the right to disassociate, which means MPs, assembly persons, have a right to hop parties, to change their loyalties from one party to the other. And the third issue was this, that when the court held that the right to associate includes the right to disassociate, the lawyers for Kelantan pointed out correctly that actually in Article 10, Clause 2, Subclause C, it says that the right to associate can be restricted by law relating to national security, public order, and morality. So Kelantan said this is a matter of morality, political morality, party hopping, betraying the trust of your voters, misrepresenting to your voters that you support a particular manifesto, a particular party, a particular platform, then after getting elected, change your garb and adopt new colors. The court sadly made a most unsatisfactory, in my view, astounding decision. The court said, oh, the word morality in Article 10, Clause 2 means sex morality, not political morality. I think that's a totally indefensible, incredible definition of morality, but that's the way it is. Nordin Saleh decision is at that time, 1993, a decision of our 1992 decision of our highest court. It's binding on us. So I think that's why the government is trying to amend the constitution first before amending the law. That two things could have been at the same time. But I think because the anti-hopping law substantive content has not been agreed upon, therefore they say, okay, to express our intentions, good intentions, we'll amend the constitution first. But we'll come to the amendments, satisfactory or unsatisfactory aspects later on. So that's the background. Article 10 gives a right to associate, which sadly has been interpreted to mean a right to hop from one party to the other.
So this amendment that's being tabled, what does it actually involve?
This amendment is extremely vague. It doesn't anyway use the word anti-defection, anti-hopping. It basically says under Article 10, Clause 3, federal law may regulate the membership of political parties. I'm totally flabbergasted. We are not dealing with membership of political parties. We are dealing with membership of parliament. MPs who were elected on a particular ticket have now crossed the floor or crossed the aisle, gone the other side. So it is their membership of parliament that is the issue, not their membership of political parties. So I don't know what this intention of this amendment to Article 10, Clause 3 is. I think the law is much too vague, and because it is vague, therefore it is dangerous. Because laws must be precise. In fact, if the law is so vague that it gives a blank check power to Parliament or to the executive, that's not advisable. So I think they need to sit down and relook at the law. Sharmila, part of the problem is this, that we are a young democracy. Parliament is at the moment not the lawmaker that it was intended to be. Executive makes the law, places it before Parliament one day or the day before, and Parliament is supposed to rubber stamp the law. That's not the way it should be. A law should be drafted after consultation with affected interests, after listening to all sides. In some countries like the UK, after a bill is drafted, they will prepare what they call a white paper or a green paper. In other words, the draft is made known to society. Comments are invited. And then only the law is perfected and laid before Parliament. Our attitude seems to be pass first, improve afterwards. I think we should improve first. And you know, decisions in which people participate are decisions they are likely to respect. Also, one very important point that I want to say in a positive way. As in life, so in law. Nothing can be perfect. No law can be a solution to all problems. I'll mention to you later on, if time permits, that actually even an anti-hopping law will not necessarily solve the problem of hopping because there are too many other dimensions. So I think discussion before decision is the sine qua non, the basic element of democracy. And because that is lacking, this law is drafted like this, which I'm flabbergasted. What is this law about? The word anti-hopping, anti-defection is nowhere there. Basically, it's about membership of parties, but that's not the issue. Membership of parties is covered by the Societies Act, covered by Article 10, we are dealing with a specific matter. People who change their loyalties after being elected.
I wanted to touch then, Prof, on the point that you brought up about how this anti-party hopping bill might not, in fact, cover all the ground that people would want it to or think that it might. Could you help us explain a little bit more about that?
Well, Lynn, much depends on what law is adopted. I have five or six possible alternatives. One is to amend the Constitution, and perhaps on that you could ask a separate question. Second one could be this, that there could be an anti-defection law that when an MP resigns from a party or joins another party, or an MP defies his party whip to vote in a particular way, then the party can inform the speaker that the member now is no more a member of the party. He's expelled, and the speaker then will inform the election commission that there is a vacancy. So informing the speaker, and the speaker informs the election commission that there is now a vacancy in parliament. I personally think this is not a good idea, because that will make party leaders too powerful. Anyone who goes against the party leader's directions or wishes, or anyone who challenges the party leader as a potential threat, you know, could possibly be dismissed from the party, and dismissal from the party will mean vacating of the seat. A variation of this would be in India. They say that a defecting MP will lose his seat, but he's allowed to recontest. He's allowed to go back to the people and say, last time I came to you on this platform, I have changed my mind. Please return me to parliament, because these are my reasons. I have conscientious objections to the direction my party has taken. So he seeks a mandate in a way that would affirm the sovereignty of the voters. A third variation in India is this, that a defecting MP loses his seat. He's allowed to recontest, but there is an additional condition that if he is re-elected, he's not allowed to hold an executive position in the government or in the entire executive agency. In other words, there is a very strong condition here. All right, you have changed your affiliation on ideological or idealistic reasons. So don't seek remuneration by way of an executive post. You're disqualified for 2 years or 3 years from holding a post, but you can return to parliament. I personally support a fourth variation, that is, there should be a mandatory resignation. If an MP hops, which he has a right to hop, according to the Nordin Saleh decision, then he must resign his seat. He must be forced to resign his seat. However, he's allowed to go back to the Rayat at a by-election and seek a renewal of his mandate. So I support this particular view. Then there is a fifth possibility. This is supported by YB Azalina and by MCA. This is called the recall provision. If an MP hops, automatically he doesn't lose his seat. The voters in his constituency, a certain percentage of voters, we don't know what percentage this should be. Some say 40, some say 30, 20, 10, a certain percentage of the voters now write to the election commission and say they want a recall. By the way, the recall provision exists in many countries. So they want to recall the MP. If that particular threshold is reached, whatever it is, 40% or 30%, the threshold is reached, then the election commission will hold a by-election. And at the by-election, then a certain threshold must be reached. I'm impressed by this recall provision. My main fear of this is this, that recall by whom? Is it by those who voted for him and they want to recall him? Or is it by those who did not vote for him And so they are happy. They are happy to recall him. So recall by whom and what percentage? Thirdly, I'm worried that it is a multi-level process. It is it's not a simple one process. Actually, it is a multi-level process. First of all, a recall petition is signed by a certain percentage, and then the election commission takes action, the by-election is held. So that's why I feel it's a little bit too complex, and it will exhaust the electorate. A final number six proposal, very simple one, is by some people, in case of a defection, the defector must vacate, and the seat should be given to the runner-up at the last election. So that's a simple. So much depends actually, Lynn, on which proposal is ultimately adopted. In my personal view, once a party person hops, he should be allowed to join the party, but he should vacate his seat, go back to the Rayat and say, please re-elect me because of the following reasons: that I cannot wear the same songkok or the same sarban or the same dress that I was wearing last time. I have changed my loyalties.
Prof, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Emeritus Professor Dr. Shad Salim Farooqi, Professor of Constitutional Law at the University of Malaya, helping us understand, I think, this issue of the constitutional amendment, as well as the various permutations of the anti-party hopping bill. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.